The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. Back at it, Pump Site Geeked. There's times where I miss doing this, where I'm just going. I'm sure Eric feels the same way. Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, is with us today. Haley is out at the Coyote. She may or may not be. Do we have a ruling yet on Haley? Do we have a status report? She's over at the Coyotes.
She's going to be tied up. She is not going to be able to join us.
She is not going to be able to join
us. They are bringing in Oliver Ekman-Larsson, followed by Rick Tocchet, and she said she is not going to be able to join us.
She is tied up. Well, she's fired.
She is.
She's done.
She's unavailable.
Forget it. Jordan's here, too, today. Did you miss doing this? It's been, I think we haven't been together since Wednesday. You know, a break.
Did I miss doing? There's really
You're supposed
no,
to say yes.
There's really no break. Just because I'm not doing the stream show doesn't mean I'm not working.
What'd you do this weekend? Did you work?
I did.
What'd you do? Where'd you go?
I went to see a movie. I guess that's not work. Really work.
Was it a movie Bill recommended?
It was a movie that he recommended, but he didn't see.
Well, how can he do that?
It was called Blockers with John Cena.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
It was funny.
It was really good.
Did you watch The Masters?
A little bit, not a lot.
How can you? So what work did you do? What work could you possibly done? I got you. I was in Albuquerque. So, and I was water polo dad.
Sometimes I do work and it doesn't necessarily
show up.
Yeah. Or have to do with work. It's other kinds of work.
You're chasing.
Yes.
No, that happens.
And doing other things outside of work.
Did you by chance see the Diamondback deal yesterday?
I did.
Yeah. We got to get into that as the show moves on today, because I'm going to get into the Masters here. Let's get started with that. Here's what's on my mind of the world of sports. It's brought to you by Sagicore. Now, Sagicore now. Guys, it's the start of the week. It may be that you've been looking at your finances and looking at your life and saying, I got these kids, I've got this wife. Or maybe you're starting into that space. Or maybe you're just later on in life and you've not checked into life insurance. All you have to do is log on to Sagicore now, get your free quote. Do so at Sagicore now. We appreciate Sagicore and their support. I didn't know the backstory of Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed, he won the Masters and he had to work at winning the Masters. He didn't choke along the way to win the Masters, although I think there are people that wanted him to not win the Masters. I was looking at social media last night. That's just one metric for me. It's not the end all of end alls. But there were not very many people that were thrilled and happy that Patrick Reed won the Masters. Patrick Reed, at one point in time, had security remove his mom and dad from a USGA event. Think about that. No relationship with mom or dad. And mom evidently has been on social media trying to rebuild the bridge with Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed's wife has had some stuff out on social that has made it sound as though there's some pretty deep stuff around Patrick Reed and his anger and his resentment. Patrick Reed is not an embraceable figure. When you watch him out on the golf course, it's not like he's cut and fit, which doesn't matter to me. But for some people, they like to take shots at him. The shirt that he was wearing yesterday was putrid. To some people, I'm not the fashion police. All I know is as the match went along, it really did become a match play. That's not the most beautiful, colorful shirt. I think I may have that, though, in my wardrobe somewhere. Patrick Reed had to hold off a late charge from Ricky Fowler. He had to hold off a late charge from Jordan Spieth. Patrick Reed he won this tournament. Nobody choked in front of him. He had people nipping at his heels. There was some bad luck when Jordan Spieth hit the branch on 18. Like we hear about Ray's Creek, you're going to have to call it Jordan's branch. Because here it is on 18, and he's trying to make something happen to chase down Patrick Reed, and his tee shot hits a branch. So my wife and I were driving along. We were listening to this. We actually listened on satellite to the PGA description, and she just groaned for Jordan Spieth. She was openly rooting for him. I did find my way into some establishments in Albuquerque. I was there being water polo dad. It was great. It was exciting. It was fun. It's a great sport. Love seeing my 13-year-old get after it, but I also have a responsibility to you to be able to talk about this stuff on Monday. And so when Mickelson ties for 36th and Tiger ties for 32nd. You have to wonder openly, is this as good as it's going to get for those two? That are there better days behind them? The ratings nationally were completely off the charts when it came to Tiger Woods. ESPN had their highest rated telecasts on Thursday and Friday since 2013. I don't know what the numbers look like here in Phoenix as of yet, but I know this, that without Tiger and Phil, the numbers wouldn't be exactly where they are. Patrick Reed is not going to make you go run to the couch, flip it on, and see how he does at Augusta next year. It's not. Just because he is pretty confident in himself. It's as though there's some stuff behind him that has happened in his life that has made him the kind of the, yeah, those guys, you know, they're not really as good as I am type of guy. Kind of like the smartest guy in the room. Nobody likes the smartest guy in the room, but that's the smartest guy in the room. The fact that Ricky Fowler didn't win, there's people that like to label Ricky Fowler as a choke, and he didn't choke yesterday, in my opinion. He made a late charge, and it's still one of those players. How can you not root for Ricky Fowler? You would want to see him win. Every week I want to see him do well, but especially in the majors, I want to see Ricky Fowler get across the finish line. Jordan Spieth yesterday did what anybody could only dream of doing. You kidding me? In a major, to shoot a 64 on the final day, usually you win when you do that. And so everything that he'd put up yesterday and every last bit of fight between those three, yeah, it wasn't Tiger and Phil, but it was still dramatic. It was still gripping to me. I very much liked it, paying attention to it. Plenty to get to on today's show. The Diamondbacks and what happened and when can you drop an expletive, as Torrey Lovello reportedly did yesterday in their quick start. The Ohtani mania has pretty much taken over our country now that the Masters is behind us. And March Madness is in the rearview mirror. Our country is starting to become Ohtani-centric. And the Humboldt hockey story really hit me like a stack of bricks when I saw it coming down on Friday night. I just couldn't get enough of it. And there's been a part of the story today, whew, that's just the coroner's office misidentified a victim in the bus crash. And so there's more to get to on that. And your hometown heroes on the hardwood, too. As we continue on a Monday, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's turn our attention over to the Diamondbacks now. Sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, our television show. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, airing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights. Appreciate the partnership with FSAZ and AZ Central. So our hometown heroes on the diamond. The Diamondbacks have a 2.5 game lead 2 weeks into the season.
Yay!
How about that, huh? We have something going on here. And in the two games that they lost, Greinke started them. Figure that one out. If you had predicted that.
But one was a really close loss to the Rockies, 2-1.
Yes, so. But who would have had that?
Yeah, who would have thunk?
Who would have thought? They take 2 of 3 from St. Louis. But the story of the weekend, really the local story of the weekend, had to do with Torrey Lovello. So if you missed it over the weekend, this happened yesterday. I was on an I-40 somewhere listening to the St. Louis Cardinals broadcast of the legendary Mike Shannon. He was just having a field day on Torrey Lovello and crushing him. Now, here's the play that people are talking about today around the Diamondbacks.
Weaver struck out 2 in the first and a 3-2 pitch. He strikes out his third.
Now that's the second low strike that Luke Weaver has been given by Tim Timmons, home plate umpire. A.J. Pollock is arguing, and now Torrey Lovello out to argue. And of course, when a manager comes out to argue, balls and strikes, automatic injection. I don't know.
Now the bench is clear as Molina didn't like
about
something that Lovello said.
Boy, Lovello obviously said something about Yadier Molina. Maybe Molina is lifting the ball, perhaps.
Okay, so that sounded like Tim McCarver, actually. I could be wrong on that, but that was from the Cardinals side of things. So Torey Lovello comes out. They throw him out of the game. It's a spot where it was the third Diamondback that had been called out on strikes in the previous two, and just listening to the radio side, didn't see the broadcast, listen to the radio side, you could tell that the strike zone of Tim Timmons was in question, at least on the Diamondback side of things. It's a cold, dreary Sunday in St. Louis, 40 degrees, rubber game, three-game series, fiery manager, very early in the game, comes out and gets after it. And so Lovello gets ejected. Now, what did he say to Yadier Molina that got Torey and Molina stirred up, that got Molina you don't want to mess with Yadier Molina. There's certain people you don't want to mess with. So here's what Yadier Molina had to say. For context's sake, we will bring this to you. Here's what Yadier Molina heard.
His manager, they came out arguing with the umpire, and he say bad word to me and myself, and I react that way. I mean, what you expect?
So the word was directed towards you, towards the umpire?
Yes, to me. He called me twice. You can't allow that. I hope the MLB see this and hope they can find this guy, because you can't allow that.
Do you have any concern that there was some contact with the umpire that you made? Or are you concerned that you...
I mean, that's at least my words right now. I mean, team know me. I mean, team know me. I didn't do it on purpose. So, I mean, if they do something, I would take responsibility.
You say you'd be fine if Major League Baseball took action against Lovello?
Of course. I mean, they had to. They had to. You can't allow that. I mean, you can't talk to a player like that. All umpire. You can't talk to anybody like that. You gotta be a professional. I wasn't a professional at all.
Would that take you by surprise?
Of course. I mean, I was like right in the corner, and then when they called me.
All right. So that was the Yadier Molina.
The way I react.
That was the Yadier Molina, and so it's his word. Where's Tim Timmons going to come in on all of this? Because the umpire was in the middle of it. He's got to make his report. Did he hear what Molina said that accused Lovello of using that language towards him? It's in the heat of battle. If I'm Torey Lovello and I'm running out there, and Lovello said afterwards, his quote afterwards was, "I used a poor choice of words." So when he says I used a poor choice of words, that's where you're just looking at Torey Lovello on this one and saying, all right, you get thrown out. I would want my manager of my team. I'm not one of these people that gets all worked up when an expletive is thrown around in the heat of battle. I'm not. Eric brought up a great point on this, is that who is the Diamondbacks heavy if they get themselves into a brawl? Who's going to come running out there and be in the middle of all this? And I don't know if you've got one at this point. I mean,
I would think it would be David Peralta, if it would be anyone, but the Diamondbacks are filled with nice guys. I mean, I can't see Paul Goldschmidt being an enforcer. I can't see A.J. Pollock being an enforcer.
You have to be an enforcer, though, because Molina came up in the next inning and there was nothing from Taijuan Walker. Or is that going to be the next time they play St. Louis?
And that's sort of a problem in my book.
But you would have liked to have seen Walker,
sure,
dust him,
yeah,
at that point.
Yeah, hit him right in the back.
So, and the fact that he didn't, how is that going to play over with his teammates in the locker room? Was that a point of contention?
But I don't know what happened in the dugout. I don't know if their coaches said, don't hit him. I don't know if they said, off. Because Lovello didn't exactly try to defend himself about what he said.
No, he didn't. He didn't. He used poor choice of words. So in the game of baseball, it doesn't have to be that game, does it necessarily? Could it be the next time that they play St. Louis? Some people want to see retaliation immediately. Some people think retaliation is overrated and ridiculous. Pedro's going to be with us later this week, I believe, and Pedro Gomez, and we'll talk with Pedro on this one. The old school would say you automatically do it. In this day and age, is it just silly to have grown men throw at one another trying to harm them and hurt them? Was Molina exaggerating what was said?
Well, only three people probably know what was said.
Correct.
So the way he reacted leads me to believe that whatever he said, Torey Lovullo said, he probably said. Because it was an immediate reaction from Yadier Molina. And like you mentioned, Brad, of all the players in baseball, he's like one of the last ones that anyone would probably purposely try to pick a fight with or piss off.
Well, there's no reason to at that point.
I mean, he's one of the baddest, meanest-looking dudes.
But doesn't that make you respect Lovullo, that Lovullo comes out to fight for his guys?
Sure.
And if he's going to throw expletives around, do you have to throw expletives? Some people get wound up over bad language. I do not. I'm not one of those. I don't expect it. But in sports, I don't sit there and say, why does he have to say this or say that? If that's what it takes to get a point across, if I'm Torey Lovullo and I come out and I say, yeah, he's framing pitches.
But that's his job. In the defense of Yadier Molina, that is his job. He's supposed to frame pitches.
Yes.
And when you see the pitch,
yes.
Guess what? It's a borderline strike. It's right. It's right below the knees.
Right.
So it's all, you know, it's when it wasn't like it was an obvious ball.
I just think that in this, if I'm a Diamondback fan, I could either be really upset at my manager for using an expletive that starts with an M and has an F in it, okay? Or I can say, that's the guy that I want that's going to battle for me at every turn and every corner. And I would think most of you would come down on that side of the street.
I would.
That the language side of it is not a big deal. That out on the, I don't want somebody that's dropping that every time I'm around them. I think you're better than that. But there are points where you've got to get the attention of the umpire, and if so be it, if it's Yadier Molina who's going to get after you, if you're a St. Louis Cardinal fan, you think that Torey Lovullo is a putz. If you're an Arizona Diamondback fan, you're thinking, that's my guy, that's who I want fighting for me, that's why this team has a 2.5 game lead, that's why they're 7-2 and playing really well this year.
And it's amazing how their image, both on and off the field, has changed so much from even a year ago. Remember a year ago we were talking about, well, the Diamondbacks, not really great expectations. Well, maybe they might finish a few games under 500 and they go on this crazy run and they make the playoffs and they grab the Valley's attention, and then the offseason comes and, you know, there's still some questions about, oh, the bullpen, da-da-da-da. And look at, you know, they're off to a great start. They've played a tough schedule.
No Souza. Okay, Greinke, as I mentioned, to your point, yeah, he had one tough one. And the other night in St. Louis, it was one bad pitch.
Yep.
But to be 7-2,
it's great. It's amazing.
Against teams that they've played so far this season, that's not an easy start when you go Colorado, Dodgers, St. Louis. That's not easy. And it doesn't matter to me that the Dodgers are stinking out loud.
Because what has been the Achilles heel of this team, Brad, during their losing seasons? They always started off slow.
Right.
As Pedro Gomez has said endless times on this show, you can't win a division in the first month of the season, but you can definitely lose it. And the Diamondbacks have been on the back end of that for several times.
And they go to San Francisco now, and so they have the Giants tonight. The Giants have Andrew McCutchen that they've added to the mix. I've always liked him as a player. And so, I'm into watching them. Tonight, I've already told my wife this morning, she says, what do you want to do tonight? I said, I'm watching the Diamondback game. I'll find other things to do while it's on. And Zach Godley's throwing tonight against Derek Collins. So
I have a random off-the-field thing I want to run by you with baseball.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Major League Baseball giving some of these teams Fridays off? The Diamondbacks had an off day on Friday in St.
Weird.
Louis.
It was so
weird.
But
that's the norm. That's going to happen from time to time.
It is so weird. They had a Sunday off too, right?
It was Easter Sunday. You're going to see, it's not going to just be the traditional Mondays or Thursday off days. You're going to see teams get Fridays off from time to time.
And I don't get that from a business standpoint.
I don't either. You don't have to worry about it in St. Louis. In some markets, you don't have to worry about it. But if I'm the Diamondbacks, I don't want to miss a Friday gate.
If I'm a sponsor of the Diamondbacks and I have things that I'm trying to move, my product moves on Friday nights. People get done with the week. They look forward to that Friday night game. And I have one less Friday, but I have another Wednesday, 12:45 first pitch, businessman special, I'm probably going to take a hit on my stand inside of the stadium. I'm not being critical of the Diamondbacks. I'm just openly wondering why MLB would say, yeah, we should give these guys a Friday night off. Like the Diamondbacks had a Friday night in St. Louis to go hang out. So they probably went and played golf. They probably went and hung out. Who knows what they did, where they went. You could get to Chicago pretty easily from St. Louis. You know, get crazy in Chicago. It's kind of like players come to Phoenix, they have an off day, and what do you know? They go to Vegas. That happens all the time. It happens after games, and they come back the next morning. So, no, that was strange because I'm a routine guy. I get it. They're trying to get a younger demo. They're trying to get the 18, 34-year-old. But in my space, Friday night Diamondbacks, I was looking for the game. That was strange. I will tell you, though, Eric, the Ohtani stuff has got me. Because I remember we had Bob Nightingale on and a couple other guys during spring, and it was, he's going to be really fun to watch, so on and so forth, but he struggled here in spring, and it's going to take him a while to adjust and this and that. He retired the first 19 A's yesterday, flirted with a perfect game. He's already hit 3 home runs. And I can see the tidal wave in our industry starting to get bigger and bigger of, let's do Ohtani, and let's make a big deal out of what Ohtani is doing. And I'm right there with it. I like that. On the other side, so the Suns and a few other things in this next segment. And then later, we're going to talk about the tragedy over the weekend in Canada. And a few other things in my mind as we roll on a Monday. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Now let's turn our attention to the Suns. The other night, Saturday night, we had our one-hour special over on ABC 15. We appreciate KNXV and ABC 15 and their general manager, Anita Helt, saying, we see what you're doing. We love what you're doing. Can you just give us a show? Let's do an hour. So we did an hour of deep dives. Eric had his great piece on Majuk Dang. I did a sit-down with Didier Drogba. Jordan did a terrific piece on wheelchair rugby. And Haley did a piece on a top pitcher here in the state who is probably going to be the number one, number two overall pick in the baseball draft and is compared to the next Clayton Kershaw. We started the one-hour special. It was coming out of Thunder and Rockets. And we started with the Suns, and I went after them as I just feel as though people are not holding Robert Sarver's feet to the fire on this, and we're just getting way too much of, well, if we get DeAndre Ayton, everything is great. And no, it's what's happened here over the last 8 years. So the Suns finished this year with a 10-31 home record after getting drilled last night by Golden State. 10-31. Eric, do you know what would the math be? What was their home record a year ago?
15-26. Last year they finished 24-58 overall. They were 15-26 at home and 9-32 on the road.
Do you have it in front of you where you could find the year before?
I do.
Yeah, I'm just kind of doing the math here. So we're 10-31 this year at home. 15-26, that's 25 wins and 57 losses at home.
The year before they were 14-27 at home.
14-27.
That would have been the 15-16 year.
Can you find the year before that?
I can. Stand by. Let's see. The 39. Suns the year before were 22-19 at home. That was the year that they went 39-43.
So we saw some progress. Let's see. 3-1-0, 10-12.
I was just happy they made it to double figures and home wins because that was teetering and in question up until the last couple weeks.
So 62-103 record at home.
Yikes.
62 wins, 103 losses.
Over the last four seasons combined, correct?
Yeah. Now, how many of you have been to a Suns game and you've put down your hard-earned money? And you've gone to the game knowing that it's better off for the team to lose. Like last night, I'm sitting in my office getting ready for today's show. I have a routine on Sunday nights. I watch 60 minutes. I'll watch whatever sporting stuff is going on within reason. And I'll email Eric like 10 emails. Five of them probably make no sense. They're like lines of, let's do this, let's do that. And then he'll say, well, I got this and I got that. And the same with Jordan, the same with Haley. We do a lot of this. You know, this is not 9 to 5. No. So we do a lot of this on Sunday nights. And I'm sitting there last night watching. And there's no way that Fox Sports Arizona, and they're partners with the Suns, I get it, and this is it's a Suns broadcast. There's no way they can escape that it's the Warriors with Kevin Durant and even Steph Curry not playing and all these great players, and there's still nobody at the arena last night. I mean, you could have fired a cannon off in the lower bowl and not hit rows and rows of seats. So even when you have a great team like the Warriors rolling in, people are like, we're not going to watch this.
Oh, and I didn't even know, Brad, until last night that the Suns played. I was like, oh, the Suns played the Warriors.
Yeah.
I mean, in the past, when the Suns, when the Suns were not only good, but like really, really relevant.
Yeah, but that was 8 years ago.
You would look ahead on the calendar and say, Sunday, the Warriors are here. That's a big game. You'd be looking ahead 2, 3, 4, 5 days in advance.
Now, no, weeks ahead.
Now it's like,
you'd be looking 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks
ahead.
Yeah,
when are the Lakers coming? Or when are the Suns playing the Lakers? Those must-see TV.
Oh.
And now it's just must get the season over with.
62 and 103. And so, I point out on the air on the show the other night about hold up a trophy. And we'll post it. I hold up this trophy, and it's a Larry O'Brien championship trophy, and just say, Robert, this is what you're supposed to be doing. I don't care what your budget, I don't care what your balance sheet looks like. I don't care. I'm not impressed. The only number that I'm going to be impressed with, and I think most fans are in the same boat as me, is how many games do you win? How many games do you lose? I'm not asking for perfection, but I'm certainly not looking for 62 and 103 at home, where your paying customer is walking into an inferior product. They held Josh Jackson out last night. Like, last night was GQ night for the Suns. They kept showing Devin Booker and Josh Jackson and what they were wearing on the bench last night. And it was great. I mean, they looked great. They looked fabulous. And I'm sure that they could have gone out on the floor and played. I'm pretty certain that if the Suns were not in Tankapalooza mode, that they could have gone out on the floor and they could have played. But because they were in Tankapalooza mode, they went out and they did what we saw. I mean, finishing with a home record of 10-31. It's just inexcusable. So, and the other side of it is on this, if you look at where they are and you look at where the hockey team is, the Coyotes are in so much better shape, except from the standpoint of if the lottery ball comes up right. If the lottery ball comes up right for the Suns, then all this has been worth it. But if the lottery ball does not come up right, then it's the same old stuff as what we've been seeing through the years. It just is. It's maddening. It's just maddening. We're going to switch gears and on the other side, the tragedy in Canada. It's something that hits close to home, I think, on lots of people's fronts. We'll get into that next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Welcome back. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. But I got to get serious here with you because when I was in Albuquerque on Friday night at my son's water polo tournament, and I heard what was going on with the bus crash for the junior hockey team in Canada, that's just not something that you look at and you say, yeah, that's just a story that came and went. That's not how it works here. The Saskatchewan Ministry of Justice announced this morning that the coroner's office misidentified one of the 15 people that was killed in the highway crash involving the junior hockey team bus. That's crushing to me. That's just crushing to me. Guys, understand this. As you see these pictures, this could be our kids going on a football game, basketball game. This could be our kids traveling. This could be you traveling with your kids. The radio broadcaster, a couple of assistant coaches, they were killed in this. The bus driver was killed in this. This happened at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's just beyond comprehension as you see the players there. These are kids. These are 17, 18, 19-year-old kids. And so as the images started coming in, and I'm thinking, this could happen in our own backyard. And you see the faces there of this team. And the stories coming from the trauma doctors and the nurses of what they saw, members of the Humboldt Broncos team. The deceased included the coach, Darcy Hogan, the bus driver, 9 players. They were en route to a playoff game Friday when a truck carrying peat moss collided with their bus. The players were between the ages of 16 and 21. 14 people were injured in the crash. And it's we have fun on this show. Got it? We do the TV side. But there's times from a human emotion side of things for me where I just couldn't get through this because this could have been our kids. Bus crashes have happened. My daughter's a college soccer kid in Chicago. They're on icy roads. They've slid off a road before. I was a play-by-play voice of San Diego State at Air Force. We got hit by a drunk driver in a snowstorm. This was 20 years ago up in Colorado Springs. And so this just hit me really hard. And $4.5 million has already been raised through a GoFundMe account for the parents of these kids. And this story is not going to go away anytime soon. The fact that a player has been misidentified by the coroner's office, and you read some of the quotes that has come out through this today, Broncos club president Kevin Garnier said he was contacted by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police early Monday about the misidentification, said the error makes a difficult situation even more challenging. At this point, I just want to reach out and support the families, he said. It's not about understanding anything. LaBelle's father, Paul LaBelle, told the Saskatchewan Star Phoenix on Saturday that he arrived at the scene of the crash along with his wife and daughter. He's an emergency room physician, Paul LaBelle is. Told the Star Phoenix, after initially trying to assist police at the scene, he and his family continued on their trip where the Broncos were scheduled to play their playoff game. The LaBelle family told the paper they eventually were informed that Xavier, their son, had died in the crash. So imagine you're the dad and you're going to continue on because you've been told your son is going to die in the crash, but you want to support the team. Paul said Saturday that the family was numb. The wife told the paper they were devastated. Well, turns out it was a misidentification. And so the ministry announcing today that Parker Tobin had died and that Xavier LaBelle, who previously had been identified as deceased, was alive. That's how this story is playing out. And there's going to be many more chapters to it. As delicately as I can transition over as we go through the rest of the weekend, as much as I'm down on what's going on with the Suns, the Coyotes, I feel so good about. Haley's out there right now with Rick Tocchet. She's working on a couple pieces. For as bad as that franchise has been perceived in the Valley, the players deserve better. Ownership deserves a pat on the back, I think, for just getting the Titanic turned around. I feel much more optimistic about the direction of where the hockey team is headed. As we go into the off season for the Coyotes, there's been interest. There's been ratings on television. The guys feel as though they're going the right direction. Friday, when we were off, they extended Antti Raanta, their keeper. And so that's a positive sign, too. So there's a lot of positive momentum going on with the hockey team. Why I just can't say the same thing about the NBA team unless they win the lottery. If the Suns don't win the lottery or get the second pick, if they don't get the first or second pick, I just all of this nonsense of 62 wins and 103 losses is for nothing. It just is.
And to me, it's they need the number one pick. As much as I love Marvin Bagley and as much as I think he's going to be a star in the NBA, I mean, just the sight of DeAndre Ayton in a Suns uniform with Devin Booker and Josh Jackson and TJ Warren actually gives me hope that there is a foundation of at least decent success, at least optimism when you're building your franchise around a really good two guard and an NBA center who really hasn't even come close to scratching his potential as a basketball player.
Well, see, the frustrating side for me on that, Eric, with that theory is, then if they don't get the one, if they get the second pick, then all is still well.
Yeah.
And well, you've gone through 62 and 103, whereas the Coyotes have never once given the, we're going to tank. And I know that tanking in the NHL is not the way it works out, but the business model of the NBA, it's as though people are going to embrace Robert and say, okay, you got this thing finally turned around. And I can't imagine that. It's and that's the sense I've gotten is, well, you know, it's the last 8 years. You're making too big of a deal out of it. Let's make a big deal about how the Coyotes have fought through and seen more adversity. I'd make the argument the Coyotes have had much more adversity than the adversity that the Suns have faced. Think about it. The Coyotes have been put on the west side of town. They've struggled with attendance. Nobody wants to own them. They bottomed out the team, which is the right direction to go.
They haven't had the best of luck in the NHL lottery. They've had some really bad years, and they've gotten stuck with picks not in the top four or five.
But I feel as though that between the two, that I like the direction that the hockey team is going much more so than the direction of the NBA team. And the NBA team is going to sit there if they get Ayton, and they're going to say, see, it's not so bad. Well, no, you lost 103 games. And fans are coming back quicker to the Coyotes. I know they're still playing in front of family and friends, it looks like. But I get a vibe around town, and the numbers, I see the TV numbers are getting better.
But if the Suns start winning, and if there is a buzz around the team, the fans will come back and there will be interest, because this is a Suns town. It just is.
Well, that's where it's like this.
It always has been. People can argue that it's a Cardinal town, but when the Suns are good and the Suns are relevant, there's no bigger sport in the Valley.
Okay, but let's go down this path. Let's just say, for argument's sake, that the Cardinals decide to trade up and get a quarterback. You know what it was like when Leinart came here initially.
Yep.
So that's going to change. Let's just say the Suns, on the 15th of May, they win the lottery and they get Ayton. The Coyotes, I don't think, have to go that route necessarily, because that fan base is so loyal and so captive, where the NFL's transitory.
And the Coyotes have a great goaltender, and when you have a great goaltender, a great goaltender in hockey covers a lot of your other flaws.
Sure. But Eric, around town, when I'm speaking and doing this, I'm getting much more about Coyotes than I am, can the Suns figure it out? I think fans are just so disgusted with what Robert's turned this thing into.
Well, it's apathy.
That losing is the best track, and that's no way to run a business. So, all right. So tonight, Diamondbacks, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, 16 times per week. We appreciate the partnership with them. Eric Sorensen, as always, produces. Jared Nielsen, our chairman of the board. I'm Brad Sussmat. Have a great day.